You know, as we go through our lives every day, we have probably great opportunities to get upset and shaken and even get in the flesh. Come on now. About things. Now that probably has happened to me. Maybe it hadn't ever happened to you, but that sort of happened to me. Anybody here that has happened to? I think most of us probably have to raise our hand. You know, with whatever we face and things that we come against, our only hope is really the Word of God, God's Word. You know, Psalms 121. The psalmist says here, and I still pay people, I wait a minute till I don't, people's not turning pages. Find it on your app, your real Bible, or your iPad, whatever you got. All right. I will lift my eyes to the hills from whence my help comes. My help comes from the Lord who made heavens and earth. Now we see here that the psalmist said he looked up to the hills, but evidently he didn't get any help there, because he goes right on and says that he lifted his eyes to the heaven, and that's where his help came from. You know, all of us at one time lifted our eyes toward heaven, and it, you know, above all of our sin and our circumstances, and accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that was good. Would you say that was good? How many of us say that was good? You know, I only saw just a very few people raise their hands. I hope it was good for all of you. But actually, that's what God wants us to do with all of our problems that we face in life daily, is look to Him. Actually, by looking to Him, we look to the Word of God. You know, the problem is that many times we do not have a revelation of what the Word of God has to say for us. See, God's Word is available to us to help us. That's why His Word is available to us. Psalms 119:89. Just turn back a little bit there. Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. Now, looking at Barnes' notes on the Bible by Albert Barnes, I don't know if any of you have that book or not. The word rendered settled, I'm going to read this to you, means to set, to put, to place, to stand, to cause to stand, to set up as a column, an altar, a monument. The meaning here is that the word, the law, the promise of God was made firm, established, stable in heaven, and would be so forever and ever. What God has ordained as law would always remain law. What He has affirmed would always remain true. And what He was what He had promised would be sure forever. That's what that word settle there means. You know, it's important for us to realize that this is settled. How many ever had somebody say, okay, that settles it? That means that's it. It's not going to change. It's settled. You know, the New Living Translation says, Your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. And the Century Version says, Lord, Your word is everlasting. It continues forever in heaven. God's word is unchanging. It is forever settled. This word is unchangeable. It is unshakable. Because God said it. You know, it's really comforting to know that no matter what problem we face, right here is the answer. No matter what problem we face, the answer is in God's words. You know, as we live, maybe we even some of my books and some of books, after a few years, a committee or the author or somebody sits down and they have to look at it and rewrite it and bring it up to date, so to speak. And, you know, but I don't think that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are sitting down around the table discussing whether they need to change the word or not. The angels are not rebelling because the word doesn't fit their lifestyle. Actually, everybody in heaven is agreeing on that word because it's forever settled. It's not going to change. Heaven is in complete agreement with this word right here. And everything, everyone in heaven, all the God and all the angels, all the Holy Spirit, Jesus, they are all ready to perform the word. The angels are ready to do what they're supposed to do. You know, he said he would give his angels charge over us. Anybody ever read that in there? You know, this is why we can have great confidence in the word of God, because it is forever settled. Forever settled. It doesn't need to be rewritten. It doesn't need to be updated. God said what he meant and meant what he said. And he will perform. You see, in Isaiah 46:11, it says, "Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it." And then in Ezekiel 24:14, now these are parts of those scriptures, "I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass. I will do it. I will not hold back, nor will I spare, nor will I relent." All of this is saying that when God says it, that's it. In both of these instances, he had told these prophets certain things. And now he is telling them, hey, indeed I spoke it, it's going to happen. That's what he said to Isaiah. He said the same thing to Ezekiel. He had spoken to Ezekiel about some things that were going to happen and were going to happen to the children of Israel and so forth and so on. He said, "I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass." I mean, there is not a shadow of a doubt in any of these words here. There is no, let me say it this way. There are no words there that give us any hint that the word of God is not going to take place. Is that right? Yes, sir. See, now, we need to understand that God's word may be forever settled in heaven. But is it forever settled in you? See, there's no question about it in heaven. But now, hey, what about you? You know, many times people, they say, well, they read the word, or somebody says something to them about the word, quotes the word, and say, well, now, this is what I think about it. This is the way I interpret that. Well, wait a minute. Then you don't have the word forever settled. It's settled. Hey, it doesn't need interpretation. If something is settled, it does not need an interpretation. If something is forever settled, it doesn't need you to say, this is what I think they were saying about it. No, you don't have to say what they were saying about it. They said it. It's already said. I know sometimes my family and my wife, they say, and I'm too blunt. And most of my staff will tell you that when I get through saying something, they do not have to have interpretation of what I was talking about. And most of y'all that have known me for pastor for almost, well, not totally 30 years, know that when I say it, that, you know, that's it, as far as I'm concerned. Now, you see, you have to get it, the word may be settled in heaven, but you got to get it settled in you. It's got to be settled in you. See, if it's not settled in you, then somebody can come by with some kind of off-the-wall doctrine, or somebody can come by with some so-called revelation. And if the word is not settled in you, you're gonna get drawn astray. See, that's why we're always talking to you about get in the word. Know what the word says. So if some off-the-wall revelation, somebody comes saying something, you're not going to get upset about it. You know, I mean, everybody's going crazy, blowing up the Facebook, blowing up all kinds of blogs and everything about everything that's going on in the world right now. Hey, it's easy. No use getting all upset about it. The Word of God has already settled it. I've read it. I've studied it. I've already read it. It says that it's going to get worse and worse. And all you got to do, I mean, people are all upset about all that's going on. They say, well, what do you think about it? My simple statement is this. My simple statement is this. I believe the word of God. Now, the problem is that there are some people that do not believe the word of God. So therefore, it's not settled in them. But right, I mean, Paul tells you what's going to happen in Romans 1:26. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into what was against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemable, and receiving it in themselves, that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Have you noticed people don't want to retain God in their knowledge right now? God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, but filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now that word death there means spiritual death. That's not talking about cessation of life. That's what the word of God says. So why is everybody all so upset? How is everybody saying, well, what do you think about what? Hey, I think what the word, I'm a born again, spirit filled, tongue talking believer, and I'm not going to change. The word of God says it. I don't care what, so, well, you got to be politically correct. No, you don't. You got to be God correct. I mean, everything is happening, the end times. All you got to do is study the end times to see that it is coming to pass exactly like the Word of God said it would. Somebody said, I don't like that kind of preaching. Hey, it's about time somebody got back. I mean, we got so far off with feel-good messages and thank God for our faith and thank God for what God says and His Word says about faith, what His Word says about prosperity and so forth. But you know what? We've only majored on those and we have not told people what God said about sin. Now, I'm not preaching a condemnation gospel. Once you get born again and you begin to understand who you are in Christ and understand what grace is, then you have no condemnation. But the Word of God talks about sin. The Word of God talks about repenting if you messed up. Hello. I'm not trying to put anybody in condemnation. I'm trying to get people to understand what the Word of God really says. Believe the Word. We holler with our faith, healing, and so forth. Believe the Word. Believe the Word. Well, then you got to believe the Word when it says what it says. On other subjects, too. I mean, you hardly ever hear the Word except in cursing the word hell anymore. But there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. The Bible talks about it. Well, yeah, you're going to be all right. Yeah, you're going to be all right if you're born again. There is no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Just we got to realize who we are in Christ. When you begin to understand the in Him scriptures, who you are in Christ, there's therefore now no condemnation. There can't be any condemnation. But the Bible also says that we have to live right. Look at Psalms 112, 5 through 8. Psalms, I hope you're getting something out of this. But I think we need to get back. We need to get back to the Word. Everybody holler, Word, 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 Word. We're Word people. We're Word people. Okay, if you're Word people, then take the whole Word, not just faith, not just prosperity. The whole Word of God. The whole Word of God talks about living right. I'm not trying to put anybody under condemnation. I'm saying what the Bible says. See, a lot of times people get under condemnation. Oh, you're putting me under condemnation. Hey, really? It's their spirit scratching them and saying, hey, you better listen. They may be right. You may not be. So come on. You know, somebody said, well, I don't know about that. I'll tell you what, I'd rather be on the safe side any day and make it and be on the other side and not make it. The consequences is way different from this side to this side. All right, fifth verse of 112 Psalms. A man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemy. I want you to look at the latter part of verse 7 in the Amplified. His heart is firmly fixed, trusting, leaning on, being confident in the Lord. Another translation says they confidently trust the Lord to care for them. Another translation says his faith is strong and he trusts the Lord. I want you to notice here that it says his heart is steadfast, trusting the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid. Pastor, what's going to happen in the world that we're living in? I don't know. But I know one thing. As long as I live according to this Word of God and believe this Word of God, that God will take care of me. He'll do the same for you. If He could take care of those children of Israel under all of their attacks and so forth that they had, and actually that Paul says that what happened to the children of Israel happens as examples for us. If He could take care of them, in all of their situations, and they win battles when they shouldn't win battles, and they overcome when they shouldn't have overcome, then he can surely take care of us today, because the Bible says God is the same God today as he was yesterday, and he'll always be the same God. Because why? Because his word is forever settled in heaven. See, what is your heart fixed on? What are you trusting, leaning on? What do you got your confidence in, God? I mean, what have you got your confidence in? Things, people, system, money? What? Job? What? You know, there's some people, if you took their job away from them, you'll take their identity away from them. No, the job is not who they are. The job's what they do. See, we need to understand our identity, and I'm getting off on here because I want to do some teaching on identification in Christ. Our identification in Christ, that's who we are. We identify as children of God. You know, we all identify with a natural family, right? But we identify with a spiritual family. We identify with our spiritual family on a local basis, and we identify with our spiritual family on a worldwide basis. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. See, we got part of God's family is in the United States, part of it's in South America, part of it's in Australia, part of it's in Europe, part of it's in the island of the seas, because God's family consists of everybody that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, realizing that he died and shed his blood on Calvary so we could be saved. Everybody that has accepted Jesus Christ is part of the family. There sits the Bucklands. They are in Botswana. They Rhema missionaries over there. See, there's a lot of family over there, aren't there? In Francistown, where they're at. I've been there, preached there. See, that's part of the worldwide family. But then we have our local families, like the churches, our local families. But we all are part of the big family. See, and somebody said, oh, I don't understand. Hey, it's real easy. We have our local family, like right here. They got their local family. There's the McKinnons. There's the local family. Here's the the Keeks right here, their local family. There's the Tanners. The local family is right there. But now, wait a minute. That's just part of their family. The rest of their family could be all over the United States. Brothers here and sisters here and cousins here and so forth and so on. See, that's the same thing way it is with the family of God. Anybody getting a hold of that? Hallelujah. Hey, we got to get a hold of the fact that we fix upon God. You know, our earthly fathers, or mine did, and maybe yours did too, but a lot of us did, they tell us things. And they tell us something, some things that are good, and they tell us some things that are bad. And if we listen, we keep ourselves out of trouble. Right? Can any of you remember and something that your father said to you is firmly fixed in your mind? How many of you? Come on, let me see. You know, and one of the things that I remember that my dad shared with me, and I live this, if it's worth doing, then do it with all you have or don't do it at all. He used to tell me that all the time. And then another one that I use here at the church all the time, a spiritual one, and you've heard me say it, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Those two things that I remember that he said, there's others too, they've helped me tremendously throughout my life. You know, watching our parents live for God teaches us some things. That's some of your parents need to realize. Your kids are watching you. They're seeing whether you're reading the Bible or praying or not. Okay? You know, traveling with Dad, I watched him. You've heard me tell this story. I watched him put all the money he had in the fuel gas in the gas tank. He got in the car and he said, "Okay, Lord, I thank you. We're going to make it all the way to his mother's house. That's where we was going because we was traveling. We didn't have a place. We just because we was traveling." And that car ran about 100 and something miles after it hit empty. I saw it myself as a 5-year-old. But his heart was fixed firmly. He said, "Okay, Lord." He said, I preached for you. This is all the money they give me. I've got me and my family. We got to get to mama's house. And I thank you that if I had it, I'd put some more gas in this car. But that's all I've got. And I thank you that you're going to get this car's going to run till we get there." And it did. Now that's being firmly fixed on the Word of God. Hello? See, God wants us to clearly remember that and settle it in our hearts. As the Word is settled in heaven, it is settled in us. That's it. You know, Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he would produce. You can find that in Romans 4, chapter 4. Now, your heart is either fixed on the problem or fixed on the Word. One of the two. You're either fully persuaded that your circumstances can't change, or you're fully persuaded that what God said in the Word is true and it will come to pass. There is no in between. It's either this or this. You're either fully persuaded here or fully persuaded there. You can't be in between. Being in between is like being lukewarm. And what did he say he's going to do with the lukewarm people? Spit them out. You know, how do you tell if you are fixed on the Word? Or in other words, I might say like this. How do you know that? How do you know? Well, your words will reveal whether your heart is fixed on the Word or fixed on the problem. My dad used to say, "I can talk to somebody for a few minutes and find out if they're really believing God or just saying they are." Because even though you're saying that you're believing, if you let them talk long enough, they'll start talking about the problem again rather than the answer. See, if you're fully persuaded, you talk about the answer. You're not going to talk about the problem. As far as you're, it's already settled. Problem taken care of. You'll go back talking about the answer. You know, somebody said, "Well, you know, faith comes by hearing and by hearing by the Word." Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. Because you can school yourself into faith. Or in other words, school yourself in to fixing on the Word. You can school yourself. Don't worry about it. They were trying to work on that camera, I think. So don't worry about it. Okay, now, see, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. You know, you just keep talking it. Don't talk the problem. Keep talking the Word. And if you talk the Word long enough, you'll start to believe the Word. Your heart will get fixed on the Word. That's why it says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. So you have to get the Word inside of you and fix inside of you until you have the faith. See, you could say it this way. You say the Word until you believe it. Then you say the Word because you believe it. Then the Word will come to pass in your life. See, I told you already, Dad called it school yourself in faith. And any of the people that's traveled with him, been around him, and there's several around here that have, he would always say, tell people, see yourself with the answer. See yourself with the answer. What he's doing, he's telling you, hey, fix it in your heart. Fix it right there. See yourself with it. Anybody getting anything out of this tonight? Amen. Everybody stand up. It's about 3 minutes to seven right now. Eight. 3 minutes to eight right now. All right, say this with me. I firmly fix my heart upon the promises of God. I will see the forever settled word of God settled in my heart. And I will see the promises of God work for me. I will see my life changing. I will see problems vanishing. Because the word of God is settled in heaven. And the word of God is settled in me. Hallelujah. If you will settle the word of God in your heart, you'll begin to see God move. And it won't be like it was. But it should be a new thing that you shall see before your very eyes. And it, that which God has promised will come to pass. But it comes back to settling in your own heart the word of God, because the word of God is forever settled and will never change. You can change, but the word can't. Raise your hands and thank God for the word of God tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. I thank you that the word says it. We believe it, and that settles it. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Well, praise God. Just a little something about the word of God tonight. The word is forever settled. We need to get a hold of that fact. If you happen to be here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and man, we have a great Wednesday night crowd, or you need to rededicate your life to God, or you just go to church and you don't know whether you're born again or not, well, ladies are over here and the men are over here. As we're dismissed, if you need Jesus, you need to rededicate, you need a no-so experience, you come down here and pray with them. You won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for anything, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, we believe in that around here. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance. If you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, if you want somebody to agree with you in prayer for healing, if you want somebody to agree with you in prayer for a job, anything you need prayer for, as we're dismissed, come right down here.